I jumped headfirst into what I call nerdolescence in 1980 when my third grade teacher read our class The Hobbit. As soon as I heard the name Bilbo Baggins, oh, I was dreaming of Middle Earth. And I also started to play Advanced Dungeons and Dragons and collect superhero comic books. A couple of years later, when I entered middle school, my uniform, not necessarily by choice, but more out of ignorance, was a brown V-neck velour shirt with matching brown corduroy pants, topped off with white Velcro sneakers. I like to think that since those days, I've come a little way, but to be honest, I could pretty much quote you every episode of Star Trek. So, when I got a job teaching at perhaps the nation's premier set of nerd camps last summer, Johns Hopkins CTY programs, I thought, I know these people. These people are me. And as a point of disclosure, I actually attended CTY when I was about 13, and you don't hear this very often, but I kissed my first girl at CTY. I was teaching a class called The Essay and Popular Culture. We would look at things like advertisements and movies and television and the internet and video games. We'd write about them, so I kind of had the cool nerds. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with CTY, there's a bunch of campuses all over the country at small colleges, and these are really high-powered 12 to 16-year-old kids. They have fantastic test scores, terrific teacher recommendations. They are in class in the morning. They're in class in the afternoon. They have a mandatory study hall. But they're nerds. And I say that with kindness because, like I said, I thought I was one of them at some point. I learned that the 21st century nerd is a lot different than the nerds circa 1970s, 1980s. And a few examples, I think, will help you help bear this out. When I stepped foot on the campus of my program, I was very pleasantly surprised to see that a lot of these kids were outside every free chance. They weren't holed up in the library, they weren't getting paler by the second. Instead, they were enjoying the sunshine, they were getting some exercise. And the reason they were doing this was because they were Foursquare fanatics. Now, Foursquare, if you don't know, is a game that kids play, and you make a big chalk square, and you put four squares in between, and you get a big red bouncy rubber ball like you play kickball or dodgeball with, and you get points or you knock people out, I'm not sure. But it's a very relaxing, very tame, very fun game. Or so I thought. Actually, at CTY, Foursquare was bloody attrition, because I forgot, nerds, God bless them, are not the most coordinated people. So you'd see these kids running into brick walls, running into concrete pillars, running into trees. They would trip over the sidewalk. They'd trip over the rocks. They would trip over their feet. They would flail wildly going for the ball. One kid almost got run over by a campus security golf cart, barreling down on him at 10 miles an hour, chasing one of these red balls. So at the end of every day, it looked like the aftermath of the Battle of Gettysburg. There were kids with bandages on their head and slings, and they had bloody noses and split lips and swollen faces and bruises and lacerations. One morning, one of my students came to class, and he had this big shiner under his left eye. And I said, John, what are you doing with that black eye? How'd you get that? And he kind of looked aside sheepishly and muttered under his breath, Foursquare. And I'm a teacher, so I'm thinking this is a teachable moment. And I pulled John aside. I put my arm around his shoulder, and I said, John, there are very few times in a man's life when he has carte blanche to light the lamp of embellishment when explaining how he got a black eye. You say something like, you were helping an old lady who was accosted by a bunch of teenage thugs, or you're chasing down a purse snatcher, or even better yet, you're trying to sneak in after hours to one of the girls' dorm rooms, but you fell down. I hope that John eventually took my advice. Now, there's another thing that really opened my eyes to the world of the 21st century nerd, and that has to do with what I call Harry Potter fever. As we all know, last summer, the seventh and final Harry Potter book came out, and in the grand scheme of things, in the mind of today's nerd, that falls somewhere between Albert Einstein's birth and the invention of the microchip. As soon as I stepped foot on campus, I noticed that kids were speed reading the first six books. There were other kids who would walk around with these ink tattoos on their forearms of a very awkward-looking boy with taped black glasses and bad hair and acne. And they called these dark marks, like dork marks from the Harry Potter series. This was news to me, too. And they started, my students started calling me Lord Voldedork. I don't know why. So you could tell that the program was primed for the release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Now, the night before the campus bookstore was to sell its first copy, there was a really strange vibe in the dining hall. In one corner, there were some students who were just crying. Their heads were in their hands. In another corner, you had kids with that thousand-yard stare, and they were just shell-shocked and subdued. And still, in another corner, there was an anxious, nervous energy just oozing from every pore. Apparently, there was a rumor going around the program that one of the boys had threatened to buy the book early in the morning, skip to the last page, and run around campus reading it aloud at the top of his voice. Now, as you can well imagine, these kids called their parents, who called the director of the program, who promptly set the program at DEFCON 1 or issued a Terror Alert Orange or Threat Level Midnight. And that evening, the residential staff sat down with all their students before lights out, and they went over the community codes of conduct and behavior, word by word. And it was made clear in no uncertain terms that any student was to interfere with any other student's enjoyment of any J.K. Rowling text. And any student doing so would be summarily dismissed from the program and not, I repeat, not invited back next summer. I am very happy to say that Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, all 764 glorious pages, went off without a hitch. There are a lot of other eye-opening experiences for me, but I really have to tell you about The Last Dance, which is a ritual at the CTY programs. The final night of the program, there's a big dance, as you would expect with 12 to 16-year-olds. These kids, they really dress up to the nines. There are girls out there in floor-length gowns with elbow gloves and tiaras, and there's guys who trot out the tuxes and the tails and the top hats and the canes. It's great, and they pass out these phosphorescent glow sticks and the necklaces you see at raves. And for a couple of hours, these kids are outside in the courtyard, and they're having a great time. Now, I couldn't go myself because I was upstairs in my room overlooking the courtyard. I had to type up my evaluations. They wouldn't let me leave the program the next morning with a paycheck unless I got those evaluations in. So I'm doing my evaluations, and I'm hearing kids outside have a good time and hear dance music and all that good stuff. And then all of a sudden, it stops. Or actually, it changes. There's this strange kind of sing-song chanting going on, and there's no more music. So I go to the window, and I look out, and 20 feet below is the strangest sight I've ever seen. There's a big ring of nerds dressed like it was a prom, 300 strong, and they have their glow sticks, and they're rhythmically doing this with the glow sticks. And every few minutes, three or four of the older kids pop into the middle of the circle, and they're leading the rest of the kids in some predetermined kind of call and response, and they're doing it to songs that I liked as a kid. You know, Safety Dance and some Depeche Mode and stuff like that. And they're doing this for 45 minutes, and I cannot look away. I'm concerned, I'm worried, and every so often, I look towards the skies because I really am waiting for the mothership to come down and scoop them all up. And it's tradition at the Last Dance to end with American Pie, Domitian's American Pie. And hearing 300 kids sing American Pie in kind of like a synchronized, almost zombie-esque way is one of the more disturbing things, which I hope nobody ever has to experience. I must have looked away for a second when the song ended, because when I looked back outside over the courtyard, everyone had vanished into the night, and there was no sign of them except for some discarded glow sticks and some trampled grass. Now, I realize I really shouldn't be criticizing these students, and I'm not. Like I said, I feel like I'm one of them. And to be honest, as an English teacher, if a kid gets excited about reading a book, who am I to knock that? Absolutely not. In fact, I am planning on going back to Nerd Camp this summer, but not as a teacher, as a student. For the month of July, I'm going to be in Washington with 24 other English teachers, and we're going to be attending the National Teaching Shakespeare Institute. And I'm going to be surrounded by people who think iambic pentameter is cool, and the best way to impress somebody is knocking off some soliloquy from Richard III. And I'm absolutely determined that if I somehow get a black eye, I will definitely light the lamp of embellishment. And what I'm going to say is that I was outside and some chump was slagging Hamlet off, and I just couldn't stand for that.